The Miami Heat struggled in Game 3 dealing with Jokic and Murray. So can they get it done tonight in a must-win Game 4? Let's talk about it here on Hoop Talks. It's your boy Jelani Goodridge Reed. That is JGR to you, along with Justin Pooney and Noor Zainab. How y'all feeling today?
Great, great JGR. How yes. are you doing today?
I'm good. It's NBA Finals Day, of course. Live from South Beach.
We're not in South Beach, though, right?
I know. Yeah, we're in Canada, where the wildfires. Hopefully, everyone's good with the wildfires in Quebec, and hope y'all are doing well. But yeah, so let's get to the court. Of course, the Miami Heat struggled in Game 3. Like I said, they dropped that one, dealing with Jokic and Murray just going off, okay? The first pair of teammates to have a triple-double in a finals game, of course. Both 30 and 10 they had in the game. And, of course, Jokic continues to be just marvelous. Mm-hmm. So, on this point, what does Miami have to do tonight to even the series, Noor?
They have to hit their shots. Every single person on the court has to hit their shots. Why they won game two was because they were hitting their shots. You saw contributions from Caleb Martin, but Max Strus. You saw contributions from Duncan Robinson, you know, Gabe Vincent. Bam Adebayo had a great game that time too. But the problem is, if you're not hitting your shots, and as we said before too, Jimmy Butler is not the pure scorer that you maybe would need on a team like that. So you need all hands that you can get at any single point, because he's a good fourth quarter guy, but he's not going to be a guy that can pull the team through every single time. As we saw, they did pull it close to until 10 points also in the fourth quarter once again, but they need to have that offensive efficiency the entire way through, and they need to have a near perfect offensive game to win, in my opinion. I think they have to get all their shots in.
I think that you mentioned you hit the nail on the head right there. They just have to hit their shots from three-point range. Like in game two, they shot 48% or damn near 49% from three-point range, 49% from the field. Like, okay, you're not going to expect somebody to hit, you know, 49% from three-point range every game, but if they can get up to 35% or near 40%, that can help them out. And the other thing, too, is they need to get to the line. The discrepancy from the free throw line is a major thing. I think last game, even if they got like hit seven more free throw attempts, that was a big discrepancy in the point differential. And I think also they need to, they're undersized. It's very evident this series that the Miami Heat are way more undersized than the Denver Nuggets, and the Nuggets are playing that to their advantage. Excuse me, that was a tongue twister right there. That you're not going to stop Jokic and Murray, but can you make it difficult? Can you force Jokic to be just a scorer? Right? Because that worked a little bit.
Do we want to have that conversation about making him a scorer again?
Well, I mean, Luke in game two, he had to...
No, it's true, though.
He
it
had
is
a
true.
Whole bunch
it
of points,
a,
and then
fact.
He was unable to facilitate as much, right? Yeah. So can you make Nikola Jokic's life difficult? Again, I'm not going to bet against the Miami Heat again, but they're clearly this less superior team here, so they're going to have to do everything possible to get back into the series. Denver played a horrible game in game two, and they still almost won the game. That's how good they are.
And
right?
do you think, because on Jimmy Butler, I understand the ankle injury that he suffered in the second round. He's been dealing with that. But do you expect a game, like a Jimmy Butler type of playoff game, the playoff Jimmy, to wake up, or is it that gone?
We haven't seen it in a while, since probably like game three against Boston, right? We have not seen Jimmy Butler play. Now, again, that could be the ankle injury flaring up. He could just be out of gas, because this team has been playing, you know, playoff basketball for over
a lot of
3 months
full
now.
Series, like a lot of really long series.
Exactly.
It's not like it's been a quick, clean cut for them.
It makes you wonder, had they finished the job against Boston earlier. They could have had a lot more rest and could have been well more rested for this NBA Finals, right? I think Jimmy Butler has to show up. He is the key tonight for the Miami Heat. If he does not show up, the Miami Heat have no chance of winning. You can't rely on Duncan Robinson, your boy Highsmith, Caleb Martin. Again, great story, Caleb Martin is, but you can't be relying on Caleb Martin to win you.
Remember, he is a role player.
He's not
a superstar player.
He played very
well. Which is
well.
Also why he's kind of fallen off a little bit this series, right?
Because I agree with you. I think Jimmy needs to try. Like, I know he had 28 in the last game. Right, but I need that type of game that we've seen previously. I'm not asking for the 50 plus that he had in the first round against Milwaukee, but still, like, I just feel like at this point, knowing how good Denver is, you're going to need one of those type of performances. You cannot, like Justin said, you can't rely on the others all the time to show up more than you. You know what I mean? It can't be a Gabe Vincent and Caleb Martin type of deal.
Well, you need Gabe Vincent to show up. He shot 2 of 10 last game.
Right? Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Like Gabe Vincent up, yeah. did not.
But I mean, like as in the number one guy. Yeah, you know? Exactly, you know what yeah. I mean? Like
I think the Heat, they're at home, so their role players did not hit their shots in game three. Generally, role players play better at home.
That's what I thought going into. I thought that was going to be the case.
Now it has to be the case tonight. Otherwise, this series. Is
I
over.
Think Jimmy Butler should have had a big game last game. Game three should have been his game where he has a big game. You're at home now. You understand the series is tied, and if you're going home, you want to take that advantage and you want to make bring your series up 2-1. But again, 28 points is not a bad night from Jimmy Butler, but then again, you have to take into account that it was a blowout pretty much the whole way through.
28 points on 24 shots, right? So again, he was 11 for 24 from the field, not the most efficient.
High volume shooter.
Yeah, he shot near 50%. So again, somewhat efficient. I just think they have to be hitting their 3-point shots. Again, this was the worst team 3-point shooting wise in the regular season. Caught fire in the playoffs, and now it's kind of tailed off a bit following the last game. They need to hit shots. They need to be aggressive and get to the line. And they need to figure out a way to make Jokic and Murray's life difficult. And you also have to hope that Denver's role players start missing some shots. And you need to.
And do you also give credit to Denver's defense there? Because obviously how they limited Miami in game three at their home court is such a sign that they know that they're adjusting as well. They're getting their game plan.
Well, that's Mike Malone too.
Exactly.
And I think the third quarter of the last game was really indicative because Denver came out of the halftime and just punched Miami right in the face, right?
Yeah.
They took it was a 5-point lead at halftime to make it to a 14-point lead. And after that, when you go down 14 going into the fourth quarter, 9 times out of 10, you're not going to come back from that, right? So that's where Miami needs to have a strong start tonight, get on a lead and hold it and try to play smart Heat culture basketball. Because if they lose tonight, guys, the series is done.
I think they have to rebound. That's the other thing. I'd say that's the biggest thing. And I know they're, you know, undersized, but find a way to get in the paint. You know what I mean? Because Denver's just they're owning them in that area. And the funny thing is Denver, they only shot 5 for 18 from downtown last game and they still won. You know what I mean? So Miami's gonna have to hope that they continue to just have performances from Bam Adebayo. I think he's played pretty well this series.
He's exceeded expectations.
He's done a pretty good job.
17 rebounds, pretty good.
He's got to show up, but yeah, we'll see if the shooting is there. But let's move to Denver more so because they are winning this series, in my opinion. I said 5. Jokic and Murray. Look, this duo has been really consistent over the last few years. But guys, we're getting to that point where are they clearly the best duo in basketball right now?
If they win the title, they kind of have to be, right?
Well, let's think about
it. If not, is there another?
Are we talking big guard?
Let's talk about the duos right now. Okay, you've got JB, JT, then you have Giannis and Middleton.
Holiday.
Okay, fine. Giannis Holiday. But I mean, yeah.
More Middleton.
I would say it's Middleton.
I know this year is hard, but people look at Middleton more.
Yeah, I would say it's Middleton. So, and then afterwards, okay, you got Curry, Clay. Kevin Durant, AD? Devin Booker, LeBron, AD, Luka, Kyrie, Siakam, and Fred VanVleet. Who else is it? That's pretty much it for the big guys,
Siakam,
right?
Fred VanVleet?
I'm talking about the duos in the NBA now. So Garland, if you're looking at all of them, Mitchell. There's potential. Okay, may I? If you're looking at all of them, there's potential, I think, for a bunch of them to come out on top. I think Luka and Kyrie, if they can somehow make it work, that's kind of a dangerous duo. I know they both need the ball. I know, but imagine they can make that work.
Oh my God. You're the biggest Dallas Cowboys fan.
I'm a huge Cowboys fan, but Mavericks, nah.
Okay, Devin Booker and Kevin Durant. That's a different duo as well that I'm like, we saw what they did. They lost.
Games. they play together. So, like a full season. Yeah. You never know.
But I think in terms of what they've got going on and their experience, it's easily Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray. It's also the pairing, too. You got a big with the guard. It just works out so well.
They both had triple-doubles last game. They're the only players over 20 points for the Nuggets, I think. They had both had 32 and 34, and then Christian Braun had 15 off the bench and Aaron Gordon had 11. Other than that, it was pretty much they carried the load for the Denver Nuggets, and that's how it's been most of the playoffs. And I think when you look at these guys, Jamal Murray, I think we talk about playoff Jimmy a whole lot. We never talk about playoff Jamal. Playoff Jamal might be a real thing, right? He's proving to the world on the game's biggest stage that I'm just as good as all the other young guards you talk about. You talk about the SGAs. You talk about the Jaws. You talk about whomever, right? His name needs to be in that conversation as well. And I mentioned this the other day. It's kind of been anointed that SGA is the best Canadian in the NBA currently. You kind of have the discussion with Jamal Murray being in there now too, right? Yeah, after what he's done in these playoffs. Like, he can do it all. He can take it to the hoop. He's got a handle. He can shoot, right? I think, you know, Jamal Murray has to be in that conversation as the best Canadian NBA player with SGA.
And he could have been an all-star by now. Let's say he was in the Eastern Conference.
If he was
because
it's
so stacked in the West.
It's so guard-heavy in the West.
And he's been injured a lot too. So that makes sense. Quite a bit.
That's the thing. But yeah, for me, I think clearly at this point, especially with a ring, like there's no discussion who the best duo is in the league. And I know LeBron and AD, they won a couple years ago, but what happened in the conference finals? You know what I mean? So
you know what's funny? I've totally forgot the Lakers were in the conference finals. Like
that was a couple weeks ago.
Can I say something right now?
Yes, you can.
I predicted that.
You did.
Did I not? Well, I said Lakers would be.
You said Lakers Clippers though.
Yeah.
I said Lakers though. Did
I
not?
Yeah, you did say they
beat
the Warriors.
Would
what
say
happened
Lakers?
To the Clippers though?
I don't care. They got injured. What I'm saying is my half of my prediction was right, and they also beat the defending champions. So I'm just going to say
that. Yeah, and before we end the show, we'll end these quick minutes off with Jokic. Okay, just keying in on him. My guy, Nikola Jokic, my MVP.
He'll win finals MVP. Just didn't win regular season.
But I still think he could have gone three in a row. Now, it's so funny to me. Like, all the people that were talking so much garbage about this guy.
Who?
They've reversed course. They're like, oh my gosh, Jokic, he's great. Oh my gosh, I should have stayed up, you know, every night and watched this guy. I wouldn't because the games are on late in the West Coast. So, anyway, where does he rank all time, right? Because that's the question now.
We're in that, centers?
In terms of centers. Because all time, like, out of everybody, I've seen top 25s. I've seen top 20s. People are saying top 30 right now. All that. But centers specifically, does he have a chance to get in that vicinity of Shaq, of Hakeem, of Kareem?
He's got to win multiple
rings. You know,
I
would say I don't think so because I don't think he's that... I don't think so just because I think his game entirely is not offense. He's also such a big impactful player when it comes to moving the ball around that even if he wanted to, I feel like he would take the step back because if you want to be one of those greats, you have to have numbers and you have to put those numbers up constantly, right? I mean, like, but I'm saying, like, offensively, I think he can do more. Constantly, but he chooses to also become a facilitator.
I think in terms of scoring, he can. Like,
yeah,
if he wanted to, he could, but he's such a playmaker, right?
I think basketball is offense and defense, right? Come on, man. Hakeem won defensive player of the year, MVP, and final.
Yeah.
I think
people sleep on Hakeem,
like,
for some reason.
Hakeem Olajuwon was an all-time defensive player and all-time offensive player. Shaq was was the most dominant player we've ever seen in league history, of course. Kareem, Wilt, put up monster numbers. If Jokic wants to enter into that stratosphere, you have to win multiple titles and you have to dominate the game on both sides of the court. He doesn't do it on the defensive side, right? That's why I always was taking Joel Embiid because Joel Embiid would do more on the defensive side. But now that
He's not an athletic dude. He's not the best defender, but I still see his impact on the defensive side.
Again, but it's not as big of an impact as
you expect
from his
side. There's no doubt. Like, if you're looking at the names, like, aside from Kareem, Shaq, and Hakeem, you got Bill and Wilt, obviously.
Patrick Ewing.
Want to throw around Robinson, okay, from the Spurs.
Former MVP, David Robinson,
Ewing, Moses.
Tim Duncan?
You have Parrish. You have McAdoo. You have Artis Gilmore, these guys. So he's probably on that back half at this point. But I would probably agree with Justin here in saying he's got to do this repeatedly. Mm-hmm. So we've seen it as of late, for sure, with him. The past few years have been fantastic. Two MVPs, probably a finals MVP on the way. I think so in five games, Monday night. But, you know, Monday night. It's settled.
Russell Wilson, will he be in attendance too?
I think so. With Sean Payton, with John Elway.
He'll be front and center of all the cameras.
I think the show says Hoop Talks, doesn't it?
With Kyle McCarr. He'll show up as
well.
Does
it say Hoop behind me?
Anyway.
Hoops.
Joe Sakic will be there too.
Wow.
Now, but I just think, with more years, let's say a couple more years of this down the line. He's only 28, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still possible. Denver's not going anywhere. They're not going anywhere. And I won't say they're going to repeat, or they haven't even won the championship yet, but it's so hard to win this league.
Yeah.
There's so much parity now in this league, so there's no guarantee in terms of winning championships.
I couldn't tell Denver to win the title because the way you're talking, like the series is over. Yeah, it's a 2-1 series already there right now. It's game 4 is in Miami.
It's because I have them in 5.
Okay.
But
okay.
I still think, yeah, Jokic is on the back half of that conversation. Right now, mm-hmm. I think he's really creeping into that top 10. If not there already, I think he probably is there already, in my estimation. But I want to see how his career unfolds, because I want him to be healthy. That's the mm-hmm. other thing, health. And Murray's health, I think, is huge for the success of the Denver Nuggets moving forward. But guys, real quick, do they win tonight? The Nuggets, do they win tonight or lose?
I'm gonna say I think they'll lose tonight.
I'm going to stick with Heat in 6, so Miami has to win this game.
Okay. You better hope so.
Jelani says they win, right? You got them in 5?
So yeah, I got Denver.
Series is over according to Jelani.
I got Denver in 5. We'll see what happens tonight. Mile High takes on the South Beach Heat. It should be a lot of fun. Make sure this guy's laughing at me. Make sure y'all are watching tonight. Don't be watching Vanderpump Rules or anything like
you
that.
You could,
okay?
If you want.
You could, but I don't think so. I don't think you should. And make sure you're not on NBA Twitter throughout the game. You can be, but pay attention to the game. I know Zion's doing some stuff out there. I know John Morant and that stuff. But make sure you pay attention to the game itself. Thank you for watching. See you next time.
The Raptors fired Nick Nurse on April 21st. Today is June 9th, and we're still without a head coach. We'll talk about why on Hoop Talks. Hello, everybody. Noor Zainab, Justin Pooney, Jelani Goodwin.
Why'd you start whispering?
What is this golf voice?
It's a Friday.
You were like up here, the cold intro, and you dipped right down to a whisper.
Greeting them casually, you know, letting them come in.
She thinks this is the Masters.
Cautiously. The
hello, friends. Welcome to Hoop Talk.
I know. Last time we posted a Raptors video, it was a little bit crazy. I'm like, let me just create an environment of calmness and care, because we're not going to be having that the entire show at all. So let me just start off with that note. But they don't care about that.
Open. Sorry. I'm still on the golf
voice. Canadian Open, bro. We're going to go to Oakdale, bro.
Anyway, Karina's not here today. She's flying back from New York after covering the New York Liberty, so we'll have everything on that on Monday when she's back. But today, I thought it'd be something.
Guess who's back?
Back again.
Oh, I forgot you got back.
Yeah, he returned from
the
West
Side. Me and the laminate wall are back, baby. Let's go.
I'll come back, I guess. Anyway, so we, like we said, it's June 9th today. Masai fired Nick Nurse on April 21st. It's been pretty much, we're at a month and a half kind of a window here now where we haven't heard anything, haven't seen anything. We know the finalists, but the rate at how many people they're interviewing has just been kind of like overwhelming, so you can't really follow along mm-hmm. with that either. But I just want to say, like, we're over a month now, a month and a half. Last time we fired someone, it took us a month to hire Nick Nurse again. So what do you think is taking Masai Ujiri so long? Let's start with you, Jelani.
You think I know? I don't know. Are you kidding me? Like, these guys, I don't know what the plan is. What's Blood's plan? Like,
what is Masai's plan?
I think that Masai and Bobby are really trying to figure themselves out, of course. But let's get something moving. Let's get something going. You know what I mean? Like, the draft is close. On the 22nd, I believe, and the reports were that after we fired Nurse, we wanted to have a coach for the draft. We wanted to have a coach by the draft. I don't know who's running these workouts right now, who's overseeing all these prospects right now. I don't know. So I would rather have a coach at this point. If you're looking at the candidates, I believe it's gonna come down to Jordy and Sergio. You do hear the other names still. Like, Kenny's still floating around. Mm. You're still hearing Darko's name floating around. But I think you're trying to go with a guy like Jordy because he's younger, essentially younger, could help a younger squad. And he's been around the block, okay? We talked about it, Noor, and how he's been in Cleveland mm-hmm. for years with the young LeBron. He was there. And then with Denver. So he's understanding the development of Jokic and Murray because he was there with Mike Malone. Mm-hmm. So that would help. And then Sergio, we have a familiarity there. But I just don't know what the plan is. Are they trying to figure out, you know, a trade upcoming for this draft? I don't know. Are you trying to figure out who's staying, who's going? Because that might be another reason why they haven't put, mm-hmm. A coach in the door. Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not sure. You're a big Jordy fan, Jelani. I did hear not too long ago that apparently he's kind of fallen off.
Yeah, Mark Stein reported
interview.
That.
Yeah. And that's just interesting because it sounds like they conducted all these interviews and they had all these finalists and stuff too. But I guess there's like finalists, two finalists.
Even with
so.
Kenny too, because throughout this whole process, I've been saying Kenny. Mm-hmm. But he's still not a favorite either, so I don't know.
I feel like even then, like we just might even see Jordy get hired as coach and not even
it
know what's going
Sergio,
on.
To be honest with you.
I think that's what the main perception, because that's why they're waiting, right? They could be waiting until after the draft until Sergio Scariolo's European season ends, because he's in the finals the Euro Basketball League or whatever.
He's about to take his team.
Yeah, he's about to win another championship in Europe.
He's got Euro
right?
Cup.
Yeah.
He's got
exactly.
Cups.
So, yeah. I mean,
he's a busy man. Okay?
The Raptors might already have their pick in Scariolo right now. They're just waiting for the season to end to announce it. But I think the bigger thing is direction, right? We need to figure out the direction that the Toronto Raptors are going to go in. What are they going to do in the draft, right? Are they going to select where they are right now? Or are they going to trade up? What are they going to do? We have no idea what the Toronto Raptors are going to do. And as a fan base, I'm sure it's very concerning for them because they feel so left in the dark, just like all of us. We have no idea. You're hearing that other people in NBA circles are confused. They don't know what the Raptors are going to do. And that could be a strong suit for Masai, but that also could be a cause for concern where this league is very fluid. Things change quite frequently, but there's no read on what the Raptors are doing right now. And for Masai, it's very apparent that he wants to, you know, have a go through a bit of a youth movement with this team, mm-hmm. right? They want to promote development and stuff like that. Well, you got to have the correct coach in place for that, and you should have that pre-planned out. Wait until the last end of June to hire a coach right after the draft or right before the draft, and then we're going into free agency. I don't know. That doesn't seem like a really smart decision, especially when you want to have systems and a game plan and the players you know you want in place when all these moves transpire.
And especially, I would say, when you've lost your last coach because you gave them the wrong pieces and he wasn't happy with mm-hmm. what he had as a roster. So if you're going to bring on a new coach now, maybe learn from your mistake, where perhaps the coach should be a part of who you're bringing on, who you're drafting, what's the look of your team, what's the direction, because mm-hmm. whoever you draft with and whenever everything goes down, it's going to be a pretty significant look into where Masai wants to take this Raptors team. And if that's the case, should the coach not be a part of that decision?
Well, that's the conversation. Yeah. We don't know what their plan is because they don't have a guy yet. I would rather have a coach there right now just to figure out our direction, like Justin pointed out. And look, there's still a possibility that there might be a draft day trade. I don't think it's a high possibility, to be honest with you, right? I'd probably say we're going to stick at, the back half of the lottery.
13th. Yeah.
We were talking about Nick Smith Jr. from Arkansas. He's a prospect that was actually highly touted coming out of high school, okay? Mm-hmm. This was a top-tier high school prospect. The only problem is, at Arkansas this past season, he's dealt with knee issues. That's why he wasn't at the same level, okay? He'd probably be, I think he's like the first top high school prospect that would probably go outside of the top like seven since Brandon Jennings. So that's something to watch, but he can still play. So it's him, Wallace as well from Kentucky. Those are two guys you probably look at guards. But I just don't know. Like, I want to know what's happening. Masai Ujiri, other Raptors fans have been saying, has he lost that prestige over the last few years? Do you agree?
I think he has. Like, you look at what's happened since the 2019 championship, right? They had the great year in 2020 before the shutdown, and they had, a nice run in the bubble. But then after that, the Tampa year, people want to throw that away. Then they kind
of
went up.
Out of it's been
peaks and valleys for the Raptors the last couple of years. Right? There's been no consistency. This franchise was known for consistency for years in the regular season, especially. They were consistently one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference, and we haven't seen that yet. Now, could this be a sign that Masai's going back to his old ways? Because remember before, you would never hear leaks from the Raptors or anything from the Raptors whatsoever. Are we getting back to that? Because we haven't heard anything. Is that Masai getting back to his old ways, right? Is now that this sort of removal of Nick Nurse? The other thing that I want to touch about with the coaching is this. You have a lot of impending free agents, especially Gary Trent Jr., Fred VanVleet. If you want to retain those guys, wouldn't you want to have a coach in place already so they can have that rapport with those players to understand what their role might be in a potentially a new contract situation, right? You saw Frank Vogel comes in a few days later, Chris Paul possibly going to get waived, right? Like, these decisions are already going in place. Monty Williams is in place. We're seeing what's happening in Philly with Nick Nurse when he got pressed about James Harden, right? These things take time to build. These relationships take time to build with players. And the Raptors are setting themselves behind the eight ball right now, I feel like. And they're in a position in this franchise's history that they're at a crossroads right now. Do they continue to strive just to be a playoff team? Or do they go with this youth movement and maybe take a step or two back in order to become more successful later on? There's a lot of things, moving parts with this Toronto Raptors franchise right now. And the fact that they're just sitting on their hands right now, not making a move, it's just building the animosity.
Well, we don't know they're sitting on their hands. It could be made, because my other thing over there also was like,
well, publicly they're sitting on their hands.
Well, yeah, but at the same time too, if you're making deals and they're getting turned down, you're not sitting on your hands. You're making deals, just not coming true, right? Mm-hmm. Which is why I was thinking too. I was like, we've seen them promote from within with getting Nick Nurse, is how they got him to be head coach when he was assistant, mm-hmm. right? So I'm now just speculating. Adrian Griffin, he was supposed to be a pretty big finalist for the Raptors, mm-hmm. too, when it came to the head coaching job. The fact that he got picked up by Milwaukee, again, if that was what it was being offered to him, it's hard to turn down a championship-level team as well as Giannis. Exactly.
Giannis wanted him,
right? Exactly. Yeah. You can't turn that away. So if that's the case, maybe the Raptors had their guy. He said, I would love to, but I cannot. The pull of Giannis is way too strong mm-hmm. for me. So that makes them go back to plan A and be like, okay, so now what do we do? Now we have to regroup and regather. So I think there's so many different things that could be happening mm-hmm. there that we don't really know about, but that's why we're here. That's why we're Hoop Talks. That's why we come back and talk about everything Raptors. We'll see if anything changes, if there's any rumors. We'll be hopefully the second, third people to cover it. We'll see. I don't know, but
always the first people to cover. What are you talking about? What are we, the
sometimes we're not about? We're not here Tuesdays and Thursdays, Justin. No. Come on, be realistic.
Doesn't matter where we are.
I'm in the game
on top
of being realistic. Okay, take it easy. But anything you hear, let us know over the weekend. Hopefully we'll have some news about the Raptors as of Monday, and that's when we will be back once more. Take care.